of my favorite songs. Thank you, Carol. Please rise with me as we join together in the call to worship. How majestic is the name of God, our Creator.
How majestic is the name of God, our Sustainer.
And now let us join together in the opening hymn, How Majestic is Your Name. You'll find it in the insert, the yellow insert, and we'll repeat this one time. Please join me in the opening prayer. God, our potter, God who becomes clay, God who shapes us in the fire, we are made new in your presence. We come seeking your wisdom, crying out our concerns, needing your peace. Use this time to form us as community, connected through your breath, life, and hope that propels us as your body in the world. Amen. And now I invite, I know there's a couple kids out there, to come on up and join me in the children's moments. Okay, we jokingly said before Xavier got here that it was just going to be the Luke moment. We're glad Xavier's here because now Luke doesn't have to be here by himself. So it'll be the Luke and Xavier moment. How's that sound? Okay. Good? All right. So this morning I want to talk to you about two different words. One is called grace and one is peace. What do you think grace means? Or what does grace mean to you? Any thoughts? Hard to explain. Grace is hard to explain. What about peace?
Mm-hmm. did a good job saying that. So peace is when there's not conflict or when it's being a good day and everything's calm, that kind of thing. Yeah, I love a good peaceful day. I am a person that craves peace. I want everybody to get along. I don't want there to be any fighting. I don't like conflict. So peace, something that we desire, right? Now, grace is something a little harder to understand sometimes. But grace is a gift that we're given from God to us that we didn't deserve. So we all can be kind of selfish, right? Where we want things that we want, or we want it our way, or that kind of thing. And God says, I want you to want it my way, but I'm going to be graced, give you grace to work through this, to give you time to come my way, to see things my way. So this is what I wrote this morning as I was thinking about that. God gives us grace. Grace is a gift. It's not something we deserve. It's free. God gives us grace because he loves us. His grace means that things are good between us. We are friends with God when we accept his grace, his forgiveness. God gave us this grace through Jesus. We wouldn't have this grace without Jesus coming and doing what he did for us. That's the gift of grace that we've received. So Jesus came to give us God's grace. When we believe this and receive this gift, we then are at peace with God. So now things are right between us. There's no conflict between us and God. That doesn't mean that our lives are perfect or that there are no problems. But we are at least right and at peace with God. So those are the two things I wanted to bring up this morning. And this is the last little bit that I wrote then. Being at peace with God doesn't mean there isn't any more difficulties, that our lives with our problems, but it means we are not in fight with God. He's still on our side, and things will work out as God desires it. He's got our back. So today you can remember that God gives us that grace. It's a gift we don't deserve, but he gives it to us. And as we accept it, do you like to get gifts? As we accept a gift, and we open it, and we take it, then we are at peace with God. So remember that, okay? Let's have a little prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your grace and that we are at peace with you. That we are no longer in conflict with you because of Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now we are going to sing our prayer hymn, How Great Thou Art. You'll find it on page 77 and on the screen. And we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you. How great thou art. This is the God that we sing to, the God that we go to. Let us go before our Lord today in prayer. God of awesome power and might, yet God of mercy and grace, with all your power and might, we could run and flee. Because we have experienced your grace, we come to thee. Lord, we are grateful of who you are. When we get to the point of understanding and thinking of you as Father God, we're able to come to you with a different perspective. Lord, on this Father's Day, we come to you calling upon you, our Father, our great Father in heaven. Lord, you are able to see all things, to know all things, and to be all things to us and in us and through us. So on this day, may we celebrate who you are and understand how you do bring peace. Lord, as we think about our lives and in our country and in our world, we can come up with all different kinds of ways that we are at unrest. So we ask that you would meet us where we are, in our individual lives, in our families. Help us to understand where we can find peace. Help us to be peacemakers, as that's who you call us to be. Lord, we think about what is going on beyond our homes and in our country, with all different kinds of violence and interactions that go on for many different reasons. The news is riddled with all kinds of things that make us wonder. Lord, then we understand that we are not like you. Help us to be more like you so that we can truly be a difference maker. Lord, we call for your peace to come within our country. And as we go beyond our country and on to the global scene, Lord, we see conflicts that are happening that have been going on for years, some decades and longer, where people and nations can't get along with one another, wanting what they want. Lord, soften the hearts of leaders to know that they have been given so much already. May they be able to turn to you and see you as their Father and understand that there is so much more that you give, to be able to understand who your Son, Jesus Christ, is, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we call for these things to be a reality in our world. But as the song goes, let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Lord, call us into action. Call us into a life that glorifies you. May we be difference makers in the world today, beginning with us, in our homes, in our communities, and beyond. Through your power, all things are possible. Let's now turn to the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we turn to our offering, remember we have our Peace with Justice offering that goes to help the overall United Methodist Church and their efforts on bringing peace and justice throughout the world in many different ways. And always know that that's a second mile giving. This is something that the Lord offers us to be give where we want to give. It's not something that's mandated by anyone. It's how you are moved to support whatever it is. It begins with the church and goes beyond. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Thank you. Join together in the prayer of dedication. Lord of all creation, we celebrate the beauty of your blessings each day. With gratitude, we offer you these humble gifts. Pour your Spirit upon our tokens and magnify them for your purposes, that the world may come to know the triune God. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, with last Sunday being Pentecost, that means we have entered the longest season of the Christian calendar, which is brilliantly called the time after Pentecost. It also is referred to as ordinary time and even kingdom tide, because the season ends on Christ the King Sunday, which is the Sunday before Advent begins. Since the 14th century, the time after Pentecost has started with Trinity Sunday, recognize and affirm the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. It makes sense to celebrate the Trinity following Pentecost, where we highlight the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all believers in Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent to save the world from sin and death. From Advent to Pentecost, the persons of the Trinity are revealed through the history of salvation that unfolded and was captured in the Scriptures. Nowhere do the Scriptures reference the three persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the Trinity. However, throughout the Bible, this reality is confirmed. So on this Trinity Sunday, before I continue with my message, I invite you to stand with me and affirm our belief as we recite the Nicene Creed together. So please rise as you are able. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. What we just shared is the affirmation of our faith. This is what we have comprehended with our minds, and hopefully we have affirmed our belief in our hearts. You see, it's critical that what we know has been moved from our heads to our hearts. Because many have treated faith in Jesus Christ as primarily transactional, limiting faith to just a life decision, rather than a life of faith in Christ being a life of experiencing God's grace in all aspects of our lives. You see, faith in Jesus Christ provides open access to God's inescapable grace, where grace is God's unconditional, unmerited, and steadfast love that flows naturally from within the relationship of the Trinity out to all of creation. So with Paul's help from his letter to the Romans, let's recall what is our experience of grace. Now, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, wrote extensively about God's grace. And the United Methodist Church today continues to uphold his teaching on grace as central to our theological beliefs. When Wesley spoke of grace, he did so in four distinct ways to describe our experience with God's grace. Those four kinds of grace are these: prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, and glorifying grace. Evidence of each of these ways of grace is found in this Romans passage. As we step through this text, I will share the connection to the kind of grace with our experience. So first, since our text begins with the word therefore, we have to consider what comes before to understand what Paul is really talking about. In the previous chapters, Paul laid the groundwork of all that led up to Jesus Christ's coming. He pointed out the waywardness, even wickedness of humanity, which lives according to their own desires without acknowledging or having any concern for God and God's will. He then spoke of God's righteous judgment against all of humanity as the creator of all. He shared how God intervened through the Hebrew people, making a covenant with them, and provided the law which confirmed that all of humanity falls short and is unable to uphold the law because of sin. Paul then encouraged his readers, saying, "But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." So before we ever get to belief, we experience God's prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the love of God that is at work to awaken us to God's existence, awaken us to our own selfishness and sin, God's love for us, our need for salvation, and God's way of salvation. God's grace is inescapable. It is all around us, continually drawing us to the things of God, never giving up on us until we take notice and our stubborn minds and hardened hearts open to God's grace. Experiencing prevenient grace, we are aware of salvation through Jesus Christ. Without grace, we remain ignorant in our own selfishness and sinfulness and unaware of God's goodness. By grace, we become curious and we begin our journey toward faith in God and God's work of salvation through Jesus Christ. So just for a moment, consider your own journey to faith. When did you first wonder about your Creator and your place in creation? At what point did you recognize selfishness and sin? It's in your own life, and then looking around and seeing it throughout the world. Then who in your life helped you answer your questions and directed you to the Lord? All this activity is part of God's prevenient grace that brings us to the threshold of faith in Jesus Christ. But the grace of God doesn't stop there. Grace continues. Remember, God's grace is inescapable. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he wrote, "Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." God made the way for us. When we come to believe this is true, then we only need to accept in faith that Jesus saves us from sin, where sin separates us from God who is holy. Because holiness and sin, they can't coexist. Jesus removes our sin, removes sin, so we can have an uninhibited relationship with the Lord our God. And Paul confirmed in his letter to the Romans, writing this, the beginning of our passage today, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." The grace in which we stand, Wesley refers to as justifying grace. You see, it is justifying because it is the gift of grace that makes us right with God. Not by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So think of the transition from prevenient grace to justifying grace being similar to someone giving you a gift, a present, and then you accept and open that gift that is given. You see, Jesus has given His life for all. But it's not until each of us accept this gift and open it that we are justified by faith. Experiencing justifying grace, we are reconciled with God the Father. Now, don't underestimate what it means for us to be reconciled. Through Jesus, we have full access to God. There's no distance between us unless we create it. For so long in my personal journey, likely because of my Catholic upbringing, I never approached God directly. I thought the priest was my access. But when I truly opened the gift of Jesus and opened myself to a real relationship with the triune God, I began to experience God's grace in ways I never had before. I did sense the Lord's presence in my life. I became comfortable with talking to Jesus in my prayers and expecting some kind of response. I didn't hesitate to cry out to the Father when I felt insecure. And I called upon the Holy Spirit to speak to my spirit the truth of God's ways. Having a reconciled relationship with the Lord is freely given for us to enjoy. Open the gift that is everlasting. Justifying grace gives us a relationship with God the Father. Now, sanctifying grace gives us what we need to relate with the world as a child of God. How does sanctifying grace work in our life? Well, Paul alluded to it when he wrote, "We also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." That's grace. Because of our relationship with God the Father, through our relationship with Jesus, God the Son, we have a relationship with God the Holy Spirit who is poured into our hearts. Sanctifying grace is the love of God that works in us through the Holy Spirit to produce endurance, character, hope, and assurance. experiencing sanctifying grace, we have sustaining and transforming power within us. And we all know that life comes with challenges and struggles. However, through our relationship with the triune God, these afflictions are met with a different outlook. You see, in faith, we look to the Lord in the midst of challenges rather than having nowhere to look other than the struggle itself. By grace, the Holy Spirit encourages, strengthens, directs, shapes, comforts, heals even, and gives us peace even in undesirable outcomes. Within the embrace of the grace of God, our hope remains as we are assured nothing can separate us from the love of God and the everlasting life. Sanctifying grace also is what nurtures us on our journey toward Christ's likeness, transforming our character and our capacity to love at Christ's capacity to love. Now, Wesley taught that sanctifying grace is perfecting grace, suggesting that the Holy Spirit can perfect our heart's motivations. Not that we would be perfect, but our love could be perfected in the likeness of Christ in this life. To love like Jesus is in the realm of possibility because of the power of grace. What we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is gentle and doesn't force us to love like Jesus. We are to invite and cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Remember, it's a relationship, just like we have the relationship with the Father and the Son. We can't escape the grace of God, but we can resist it. The truth about grace, however, is that the more we experience it, we stop resisting. And as Paul said, we stand in the grace we have been given, and boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And that leads us to glorifying grace. Paul declared, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Hope doesn't disappoint us because God is faithful and will fulfill the promise we have in Christ, the promise to be glorified as Jesus Christ is glorified. In our resurrection, our bodies will be changed. We will have the mind of Christ and our hearts will be pure. We will be holy as God is holy. Experiencing glorifying grace, we will have eternal glory with God. That is our hope. And the Holy Spirit assures our spirit that by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, our hope is secure. See, glorifying grace completes the work of salvation. So friends, experience the inescapable grace of the Trinity. God's unmerited, unconditional, and everlasting love that surrounds us with prevenient, justifying, sanctifying, and glorifying grace. Let's move beyond believing in Jesus. Let's rejoice in God's salvation through Jesus Christ. Rest in reconciliation with the Father. And revel in the power of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life and rise in hope of God's glory. All of this is a free gift by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's open our hearts to receive all that God gives us. Amen? Amen.
And now let us stand. Rise as you are able, and sing the closing hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, verses 1, 2, and 4, number 64 in your hymnal.
God's grace, God's love, is given freely to each and every one of us. All over the world, people can experience God's grace. Since you have experienced grace, live like you have. Take it with you wherever you go, in all aspects of your life. And go in peace in the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.